The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it's connected to the tree. And the Lord reminded us of this truth at the Last Supper when he told his apostles that he was the vine and they were the branches, so they should always stay united to him. His encounter with Mary and Martha in today's gospel teaches us the same lesson, a lesson that Martha apparently needed to learn. Martha needed to learn that what we do for the Lord Jesus has to flow out of our relationship with him. It's easy to overload our agenda with so many activities and commitments, even good and beneficial ones, that we lose sight of our real goal in life: to know, to love, and imitate Christ more each day. Only that will give real meaning to our lives. Only that will enable us to help others find meaning. Only that will fill us with the steadily increasing joy we long for. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't do things or serve others or work hard and honor our commitments. No, rather, the Lord is reprimanding Martha for her activity. Doesn't reprimand Martha for activity. He reprimands her for being worried and anxious. Worried and anxious about all those other activities. She has become so caught up in getting things done that she's lost sight of why she's doing them. She's like a branch desperately trying to bear fruit by its own power. And the result is predictable: frustration, anger, impatience, and loss of temper. Unless we're plugged into Christ and his grace, unless we constantly feed our souls with his words, unless everything we do flows out of our friendship, our relationship with him, the one thing necessary that he mentions, none of our actions, even the good ones, can have lasting value. And only lasting value will give peace to our hearts. St. Philip Neri learned this lesson fairly well. His holiness and good humor made him the most sought-after priest in the city of Rome during the mid-1500s. He was an advisor to popes and cardinals, kings and dukes, and also to beggars and bakers. Universally loved and respected, he reformed a corrupt city almost single-handedly. And one day, a young man came to him after finishing his bar exam to become a lawyer. After years of study, the young man had finally succeeded and was about to begin a promising career in law. He was dating a beautiful girl, and so he was giving St. Philip Neri all of his plans, what he planned to do with the rest of his life. He would get a respectable job as a legal clerk, and then he would marry this girl. And as he was telling St. Philip Neri all of these plans, he responded by saying, "And then what?" So the young man continued explaining how he would climb the ladder of success and raise a family. And then St. Philip Neri responded again by saying, "And then what?" At that, the young man frowned and thought for a moment. And then he started stammering about becoming a famous judge and having grandchildren. But his enthusiasm seemed to be waning. St. Philip smiled again and peered into his eyes and asked him again, "And then what?" The young man looked at the saint with panic and confusion. He had never thought really that far ahead. He slowly walked away and began to think things over. The next day, the young man joined St. Philip Neri's oratory, and eventually he became a holy and fruitful priest. Not all of us are called to the priesthood or consecrated life, but all of us are called to keep the Lord first in our lives. Sooner or later, only the better part, as Jesus referred to in the gospel, will remain. And if we haven't chosen it for ourselves, we'll be left out in the cold. We're all united to the vine, or at least we want to be. That's why we're here. That's why we come to Mass every weekend and pray. But it is possible to be a scrawny branch, a branch with only a little sap flowing through it. If we want our lives to bear more fruit, we need a lot of sap. We have to be more united to the vine. This is the one thing that is necessary. The first step to increasing that union is to take stock of our current spiritual state. One very effective thermometer in this regard can be used when we're on vacation, for example. We all need vacations. We need time to get away from the familiar places and duties, our work, responsibilities, and even some people. We need time to relax, to enjoy the company of friends and family, to enjoy even the invigorating beauties of nature. In the vacation environment of relaxation and spontaneity, we can learn a lot about ourselves. One thing we can see clearly is just how important our relationship with the Lord is. We have extra free time in those moments. Do we spend any of it with the Lord? We get to choose where do we go on vacation, what we do. Is ensuring we can get to Sunday Mass a factor in making those decisions? We get to spend more time reading or maybe watching different shows or movies or documentaries. Does the beauty and drama of our Christian vocation get included in those activities? The Lord wants for us to enter into a dynamic relationship with Him, one that is intimate. And so at this Mass, let us make an honest assessment of our own hearts. And if we find that we are falling into Martha's mistake, let us promise to correct it this week and ask the Lord for His grace to do so.